Godzilla, King of the Monsters. Fantastic beyond comprehension.
Gripping beyond compare.
Astounding beyond belief.
The mightiest monster of them all.
See Godzilla, King of the Monsters.
Well, it's big and terrible. More frightening than I ever thought possible.
SOS fans, welcome to a very special episode of the Tokyo SOS Podcast. Today, we're doing a very special episode to cover an 800-pound gorilla that's been in the room ever since we did our first episode. And we've gotten just tons and tons of emails asking us to talk about it. Right there, Jess?
Yeah, you know, it's a subject that's dear to me, and I wasn't going to bring it up, but you know, we just got so much of an outcry for it.
I can't believe I never, you know, I kind of now know what Michael Bailey and Scott Gardner felt when they got all that email on episode 13. Do you remember when they got all that email?
Yeah, it just flooded in, and you know, it's a lot to deal with. We're so popular, apparently.
And when our good friend Bertone sent us an email on it, we decided, you know, we just had to talk about it. So, Jess, let's talk about the subject everybody wants us to talk about. 90s animation.
Yes!
I mean, so much of us is obviously influenced by 90s animation. You know, I'll be honest, I wouldn't be an anime fan if it wasn't for 90s animation. Because whether it was anime or cartoon style, you know, it was pretty much the stuff that was in the 90s that influenced me.
Yeah, and I'm not even an anime fan, in spite of 90s cartoons, but, no, you know what, I just gotta say, I'm tired of people talking about how great the 80s were.
Oh, absolutely.
It's only because the 70s didn't have any good cartoons, really. I'm sorry, they didn't. You had Hanna-Barbera in the 60s, and the 70s got crap.
I mean, there's stuff I like in the 80s. I'm not going to completely crap on it. But, you know what? Especially the way it's sounding these days, I am sick and tired of having the 80s and the 70s and the 60s shoved down my throat about how awesome they were. Don't get me wrong. There's stuff I love from...
You know what I want to see in 10 years? I don't want to see a new Bay Transformers movie that's so cool. I want to see a big-budget Michael Bay Power Rangers movie.
Yes, dude.
Like some BA Zoids, you know? I want Dragonzord all CG'd up with flames running sides.
Did I ever tell you my my cast list for a Power Ranger movie?
No.
I was gonna have Michael J. White as the Black Ranger. Michael J. White, a Black Dynamite in Spawn. Jason Statham was going to be the Blue Ranger. As a joke, I was gonna have Johnny Young. I was gonna have Rey Mysterio as the Yellow Ranger, of wrestling fame. Devin Oki would be the Pink Ranger, and every shot where she was not in the suit, she'd be in some smoking outfit, like a string bikini or something, and she'd be a sexy thief. And then I was gonna have the Red Ranger played by Chad Tatum.
I'd go see it. I'm sorry, but you talk about how politically incorrect, you know, stuff was back in the 80s. How about you have the Yellow Ranger, who's an Asian chick, and the Black Ranger, who's a black dude? You couldn't get a deal with crap nowadays.
And also that's the wrong. Fact, also you can't forget the fact that apparently when Trini morphed into the Yellow Power Ranger, she grew a penis.
Yes. It's like, wow, she filled up.
Wow, I'm not going to touch that joke. I'm not touching that joke with a 10-foot pole. I'm staying away from it. But, you know.
And Thomas stays away from it. It's bad.
Yeah. But it's a thing of, you know, with the 90s, you know, and it started off great with a lot of the stuff we got, you know, 90, 91, 92. When you look at things like Batman the Animated Series, Tiny Toons, you know, Pup Named
Aladdin.
Aladdin, Pup Named Scooby-Doo. Oh, God. Did Pup Named Scooby-Doo start in the 90s? I have to go look.
Pretty sure it did. It reeks of 90s.
No, actually, it started in 1988.
He's not looking this audience. Oh. What?
It's 1988, well, actually.
It still played during the 90s. Right?
I mean, that's when I saw it. I saw it on Cartoon Network. Like 95, 96. So I'm going to count it.
Dang it.
But we're going to count the late 80s and the very, very early 1000s in this. Because really, that's how awesome the 90s was. It started early and it ended late. As far as I'm concerned.
Yes. It's a decade that was more than 10 years.
I mean, that's why I technically want to kind of count the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles into there.
Dude, the Ninja Turtles didn't end until 97.
Well, the live action didn't end until 97. I don't know when the
No, the animated show didn't end.
Yeah, then I'll count it, definitely, because that's most of the...
Yeah, like, you know, I thought it ended, like, early 90s, but no, yeah, it was on for, like, 10 years. Just no one watched it, like, the last three.
And I firmly believe that anybody that's an anime fan, that human anime fan in the 90s, started out as a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle fan. Because I know,
yeah,
I did.
If someone hates the Ninja Turtles, I will slap them.
Yeah. It's
awesome.
I have a katana. I can find out where you live.
I've got a rat named Splinter.
Yeah.
Okay, not really. But I did have a fake...
I do.
What? Did that ooze canister?
But,
no,
yeah.
Thomas. Don't even think about it.
But, you know, the Never Stop. Man, I'm not trying to find it because I know Tiny Toons was absolutely awesome. That was one of my favorites. We're tiny, we're toony, we're all a little loony. You don't remember the...
I don't remember the theme song, but I remember the show.
You don't
what
remember...
Babs, Buster and Babs, yeah. I don't have this knack for remembering theme shows like you do.
But do you remember the show?
Yeah, I remember the show, yeah.
Well, talk about it.
I don't know anything about it. I mean, what about it? Buster and Babs? I liked the little Tasmanian devil.
I always felt bad for Plucky Duck.
Yeah, I want to know why he... I mean, if he was related to Daffy, Daffy's black, why is he green?
You know, it was a thing of... What, green? I guess it was because he lived in the marsh.
Wait, so he was just, like, permanently nasty?
Yeah. That's just my only guess. But it probably had something to do with the cartoons. You know, cartoons, and it was made for kids, so it was where kids attracted the color.
Or whatever her name was.
Elvira, God. Oh,
she was just Elmer Fudd with a wig on. It was so weird.
Very, very quiet. I'm Huggy Bunny.
Oh, and Montana Max.
Oh, God. That was Yosemite Sam.
Oh, Dizzy Devil. I love Dizzy Devil. It was, like, awesome. I used to have I think it was Burger King did them. Like, the little Happy Meal toys.
Oh, yeah.
Probably 95 when they came out.
Yeah.
That's back, you know, when kids' meals used to have
actual stuff.
Yeah. You know, I got some recently from my little nephew. Yeah, it's crap. It really is.
And of course, to talk about success, you know, Tiny Toons was more of a bigger picture with like Animaniacs and Freakazoid, which we'll get to. But let's talk about the thing that really influenced these great cartoons. Who Framed Roger Rabbit? The greatest movie ever made.
Bob Hopkins' best role. Mr. Lloyd's one role that he did other than Back to the Future and Adam's Family.
Yeah. But no, it's such an awesome movie because it really is a mystery. You know, there's laughs in it. There's tons of pranks. But it's never a thing where, you know, it doesn't take itself seriously. And that's what leads to the comedy. Bob Hoskins acts so serious in this
movie. That whole movie.
The whole movie. And to this day, my favorite line. And I never knew why it was my favorite line, but as I got older and I understood the joke more, and really how deep of a joke it was, it just got funnier and funnier. And that was the, now I can't remember it. Damn. The probate! Where he goes, tells her, go downtown and check the probate. And Roger goes, yeah, the probate. My uncle, Hopper had a problem with his probate, and he had to take these big pills.
Oh, yeah.
And then,
that's what you enjoy as a kid, but you enjoy even more as an adult.
And it goes, probate, not prospate, you idiot! And he says it with such a straight face. And then,
I just love seeing Mickey Mouse and Bugs Bunny on the same screen.
Yeah. Or Daffy Duck and
Donald Duck. Yeah.
And Ink and Paint Club. Speaking of Ink and Paint Club, the other thing that helped us, and not only helped animation, but young boys changing into men helped us along too. That was Jessica Rabbit.
Yeah.
Let's just sit here for a moment and just remember Jessica Rabbit.
If I were a rabbit or a animation character, I'd go for it all the way.
I never thought I'd be jealous of an animated rabbit. Let's just say that. Now that we got that creepiness gone, but you know, as you said, and you know what, it really brought forth a lot of the resurgence of great animation that happened in the 90s, because it wasn't just, you know, sort of the Fox. A lot of the Fox stuff. That and Batman the Animated Series, which to this day is probably the greatest American animated show ever.
What was that? I'm sorry, I'm not even going to tell you. I just Wikipedia'd the name Jessica Rabbit, and you don't want to know what came up.
What came up? Oh. Oh, that came up. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that,
it was quite shocking. That's why I was, like, at a loss for a minute, like, oh, wait, yeah.
I just Wikipedia'd, and it, redirected me to, Roger Rabbit.
Well, I did a, hold on.
I think you spelled it wrong. But back to the point.
Yeah, before we get distracted here.
Yeah, but, you know, you had Batman the Animated Series, written by Paul Dini. In the Bruce Timm style. God, I love Bruce Timm's art. And you saw that a lot through all, you know, all the stuff that we love. You know, Batman Animated Series, Superman the Animated Series. My favorite was Batman Beyond and Static Shock.
I like Batman. I never got into Static Shock, but yeah, Batman Beyond was awesome. And I mean, you can say that even goes back as far as, I mean, goes forward as far as influencing, you know, nowadays.
Yeah.
Like, Batman Arkham Asylum came out with the cast of, you know, the 92 Batman show. You had Mark Campbell, Kevin Conroy, and I forget her name, but the chick that plays Harley Quinn.
Yeah, I mean,
and they introduced her to the comics. I mean, you know.
I mean, that's how popular Harley Quinn, again, another hottie of the 90s, was in, we'll be talking a lot about hotties. but was that, you know, she wasn't in the comics. She was purely a creation of the animated series, and she was so popular that they brought her into the comics.
Yeah, you know why they created her, right?
Because someone said, you know, what if this Joker henchman was a female?
Well, I heard they created it because they wanted to make sure everybody knew the Joker wasn't gay.
That may be true, but from what I hear, it was basically that she was created because someone came up, well, what if one of these henchmen was female?
Either way, I mean, I'm glad she was created. I mean, she's one of the most memorable things about the show.
And when you look at all three of the, really the main females that kept coming back and back, her, Poison Ivy, and Batgirl. Go ahead.
I'm at a loss remembering Catwoman in that show.
Oh, Catwoman. Damn.
I don't remember her being, like, used that much.
I remember her used in the first couple of seasons, and not as much in the later seasons.
I mean, like, Poison Ivy just outshines her for some reason.
I mean, but those, I can't remember her name from Batman Mask of the Phantasm, which
Andrea Beaumont, or whatever?
Beaumont, thank you. Who, you know, again, I think Batman Mask of the Phantasm is the third best Batman movie ever made, behind Dark Knight and the 1989 Batman movie. Because that's how good it was.
I'll say it's the third movie behind Batman Begins and Batman.
You didn't like Dark Knight?
No, I'm not a fan. I don't hate it as much as Scott Gardner hates it, but I'm not a fan of it.
Scott?
It's a movie and a half.
Dark Knight. Yeah. Now we're going to get emails from him. But no, and this is something about all females from the 90s, which can't be said about right now, which really pisses me off. And that is, these females, they were very sexy and attractive, and yet they weren't just looks. They were smart, they were intelligent, and they had common sense, and they were cunning, too.
Please, yeah, it wasn't all about the looks. It was, I mean, that was there, but it was, you know, just supplemental for the actual character. It's not, you know, a caricature.
You know, it was kind of like how Mary Jane was in the JMS run before Joe Quesada decided, hey, I hate Mary Jane, I now have the power to ruin her character.
Yeah.
Let's not go there.
Well, JMS did a lot for Mary Jane and even Aunt May.
Yeah.
So he knows, I think he just knows how to write women in general.
Yeah. But, and going back to, you know, and that was just part of Fox, and as we said before, Tiny Toons. Of course, the second best show of the 90s was Animaniacs.
Yes.
God, I love that show. I mean, I'll admit, I didn't watch it as much when I was a child. At least when it first premiered, because, again, I had a lot of problems waking up on, Saturday mornings.
I'm still amazed I got up that early.
But I got to watch it later.
Of course, I always watch shows and sleep.
I got to watch it later in the 90s on Cartoon Network. That's where I got to see a lot of my cartoons that I love and watch. But it's the thing, you know, just the songs, like the state capital song.
The names of all 50 states and their capitals.
Okay. Here goes. Baton Rouge, Louisiana, Indianapolis, Indiana, and Columbus is the capital of Ohio. There's Montgomery, Alabama, south of Helena, Montana. Then there's Denver, Colorado, under Boise, Idaho. Texas has Austin, then we go north to Massachusetts, Boston, and Albany, New York. Tallahassee, Florida, and Washington, D.C. Santa Fe, New Mexico, and Nashville, Tennessee. Elvis used to hang out there a lot, you know. Trenton's in New Jersey, north of Jefferson, Missouri. You got Richmond in Virginia, South Dakota has Pierre. Harrisburg's in Pennsylvania, and Augusta's up in Maine. And here is Providence, Rhode Island, next to Dover, Delaware. Concord, New Hampshire, just a quick jaunt to Montpelier, which is up in Vermont. Hartford's in Connecticut, so pretty in the fall. And Kansas has Topeka, Minnesota has St. Paul. June Juno's in Alaska, and there's Lincoln in Nebraska, and it's Rolly out in North Carolina, and then there's Madison, Wisconsin, and Olympia in Washington, Phoenix, Arizona, and Lansing, Michigan. Here's Honolulu, Hawaii's a joy, Jackson, Mississippi, and Springfield, Illinois, South Carolina with Columbia down the way, and Annapolis and Maryland on Chesapeake Bay. They have wonderful clam chowder. Cheyenne is in Wyoming, and perhaps you make your home in Salt Lake City, out in Utah, where the buffalo roam. Atlanta's down in Georgia, and there's Bismarck, North Dakota, and you can live in Frankfort in your old Kentucky home. Salem in Oregon, from there we join Little Rock in Arkansas, Iowa's got Des Moines, Sacramento, California, Oklahoma, and its city, Charleston, West Virginia, and Nevada, Carson City. That's all the capitals there are.
Or the countries of the world song.
And now, the nations of the world, brought to you by Yakko Warner.
United States, Canada, Mexico, Panama, Haiti, Jamaica, Peru, Republic, Dominican, Cuba, Caribbean, Greenland, El Salvador too, Puerto Rico, Colombia, Venezuela, Honduras, Guyana, and still Guatemala, Bolivia, then Argentina, and Ecuador, Chile, Brazil, Costa Rica, Belize, Nicaragua, Bermuda, Bahamas, Tobago, San Juan, Paraguay, Uruguay, Suriname, and French Guiana, Barbados, and Guam. Norway and Sweden and Iceland and Finland and Germany now one piece. Switzerland, Austria, Czechoslovakia, Italy, Turkey and Greece. Poland, Romania, Scotland, Albania, Ireland, Russia, Oman, Bulgaria, Saudi Arabia, Hungary, Cyprus, Iraq and Iran. There's Syria, Lebanon, Israel, Jordan, both Yemen, Kuwait and Bahrain. The Netherlands, Luxembourg, Belgium and Portugal, France, England, Denmark and Spain. India, Pakistan, Burma, Afghanistan, Thailand, Nepal, and Bhutan, Cambodia, Malaysia, then Bangladesh, Asia, and China, Korea, Japan, Mongolia, Laos, and Tibet, Indonesia, the Philippine Islands, Taiwan, Sri Lanka, New Guinea, Sumatra, New Zealand, then Borneo, and Vietnam, Tunisia, Morocco, Uganda, Angola, Zimbabwe, Djibouti, Botswana, Mozambique, Zambia, Swaziland, Gambia, Guinea, Algeria, Ghana, Burundi, Lesotho, and Malawi, Togo, the Spanish Sahara is gone. Niger, Nigeria, Chad, and Liberia, Egypt, Benin, and Gabon. Tanzania, Somalia, Kenya, and Mali, Sierra Leone, and Algier. Dahomey, Namibia, Senegal, Libya, Cameroon, Congo, Zaire, Ethiopia, Guinea-Bissau, Madagascar, Rwanda, Mayor, and Cayman. Hong Kong, Abu Dhabi, Qatar, Yugoslavia, Crete, Mauritania, then Transylvania, Monaco, Liechtenstein, Malta, and Palestine, Fiji, Australia, Sudan.
Both of those were awesome songs. As you've just heard.
Yes.
I mean, do you remember those songs?
Yes, I do. I don't remember the words. I just remember the scene with him jumping across the map.
Yeah, but there's that. There's, oh god, there's so many.
I remember the one where Wacko had to pee for the entire episode, and that's all it was, just him running around trying to pee. And every time he would find like a waterfall, and which I thought it was odd he could hold it in, but he wasn't wearing pants.
Wacko's Wish was very funny too.
I don't remember that one.
No, it was the movie. It was the Animaniacs movie. You remember it?
They had a movie?
Yeah, Wacko's Wish. It like shows every now and then on Cartoon Network.
What?
It was, I have a wish, Penny. No, it's basically, like, in this fairy tale world, and Wacko makes a wish on a wishing star, and he... And so basically all of the Animaniacs characters trying to get to the wishing star to make their wish. Well, Wacko finally gets the first one to get to it, and his wish is for a second Hey Penny. And so they pass around the Hey Penny every day. You have to see it to understand it. I'm sure you can find it on YouTube.
Probably. Is that show even out on DVD?
Yeah, it is. I believe there's some shows. I think it may all be on DVD. One thing, though, we definitely have to talk about when we talk about 90s is all the cartoon specials. I mean, the Christmas specials.
What Christmas specials?
like the Animaniacs Christmas special?
The only one I remember is the X-Men Christmas episode.
I mean, there was the Batman one. I considered it.
Oh, okay, Batman one also.
The Batman ones were pretty awesome. I mean, I'm trying to think. The Tiny Toon Christmas specials. I mean, all the specials for all the ones. Like, to go back to Tiny Toons, I think one of my favorite Tiny Toon episodes was the MTV music video one. Do you remember that one?
No, that one I believe I have seen.
Where, you know, Bugs does, not Bugs, but, Buster does, what's the name of the song? Do You Love Me? 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 I'll stop now. But that, of course, you can't forget one of the other favorite from Fox, probably the last great one, Freakazoid.
Freak me.
Oh, freak out!
He had the Freakmobile, okay? You have a car called the Freakmobile, and you have an exclamation point as your costume. Which really, when you, like, going back and looking at that show, it reminds me a lot of the Mask animated show.
Yeah. Or the Tick.
Yeah, but there's really a lot with the Mask just because of the kind of premise, a normal guy that goes kind of loony once he powers up or whatever.
Yeah.
I liked it better than the Mask show, obviously.
But yeah, you had, you know, some of my favorite, you know, the Origin episode, where they explain how he became
Freakazoid. With his computer,
Yeah.
His computer RAM.
Yeah, computer RAM.
What's funny is I think, like, the mythical amount of RAM he had was, like, a gig or something.
Yeah.
It's like, wow. Yeah.
This show's become really dated now. But I just love the fact where the cat is tied up. And so they're trying to get the information out of the cat. So they bring in the animal specialist who starts talking to the cat. I love the 90s. But then, of course, another one of my favorite was Loeb's Night Out, I think it was called, where Loeb escaped from prison and he's bored because no one's there to stop him. Because basically, Freakazoid's out on a date with Valerie at the fancy place. So Loeb says, I'm going to go on a night out. I'm going to have dinner at my favorite place. And it's the same place they're having dinner, and you have the song and the dances. And it's like, you know, Loeb doesn't even really want to steal stuff. He just wants to be chased by Freakazoid.
That's all he wants. Hey, 90s villains have the best ambition ever.
Yeah, or Candlestick Jack. or the Bull, or Madam Snake.
Madam Snake.
Oh, God, do you remember the team up where Madam Snake, the intelligent caveman, and it's the one where they steal and they, like, hide out in the amusement park?
No.
And the whole episode, it's Scotty trying to teach Freakazoid how to move a brick with his mind, and he keeps slamming the brick into his head.
That part I do remember.
Oh. Or the Dance of Doom. But again, another one of my favorites has to be, actually, I think it's the last one. This one I definitely have to, it's the one with that guest stars, the wood guy.
Wood guy?
Yeah, he was like on PBS, he like did a lot of fix-it shows.
Bob Vila?
Yeah! Is that his?
Yeah, that's Bob Vila's the fix-it dude.
The fix-it dude, and they get an autograph and all the villains kidnap him to have him make that, like, giant horn.
90s had the most, the oddest, like, pop culture references.
Oh, yeah, they definitely did.
It's like, that's out of the blue.
Absolutely.
Yeah, now I'll tell you a show I love.
What show did you
talk about? 90s. Darkwing Duck.
Darkwing Duck of mystery, Chippy on the right, swoops out of the shadows, Darkwing of the night. Somewhere some villain schemes, but his number's up.
3, 2, 1. Darkwing Duck, when there's trouble you call the W. Darkwing Duck,
let's get dangerous.
Darkwing Duck,
smoke and he appears, the master of surprise. Who's that cunning mind behind the shadowy disguise? Nobody knows for sure, bad guys are out of luck. Here comes
Darkwing Duck. When there's trouble you call the dummy. Darkwing Duck,
let's get dangerous.
Darkwing Duck, better watch out you bad boys. Darkwing Duck.
Oh, dude, I, you know what? I was going to transfer that to, you know, Disney's Afternoon, because you had that, you had DuckTales, which,
you
will never, ever, ever get that theme song out of your head.
It is catchy, but I mean, wasn't Darkwing Duck a spinoff of that, with Launchpad and Gizmo Duck?
Yeah, but Darkwing Duck was a spinoff of that. I remember watching Duckwing when I could see it. I loved that show.
Dude, he's a Batman analog whose name is Drake Mallard.
Yeah.
It's just awesome. And he has the best villain ever, Negaduck.
Yes.
I love Negaduck. His whole motivation is to be public enemy number one.
and he has
the propensity for ripping out chainsaws for no reason.
And I'll say this, Darkwing Duck has one of the top five theme songs of the 90s.
Yes, you'll never get a better catchphrase than "I am the terror that flaps in the night."
I am the terror that flaps in the night.
I'm actually thinking about one time cosplaying as Darkwing Duck. I swear to God.
But you'd have to get somebody to go as Launchpad.
Yeah, I would have to.
Or just get a Darkwing Duck and a Negaduck.
Yeah.
But wait. No, Darkwing Duck has no pants on though. You'd have to alter the costume, man. I'm sorry.
I'll have to. I'll give it hockey pants just so I can have... just so I can go up to a Batman cosplayer. Go up to him and say, "What's the difference between you and me?"
"I don't wear hockey pants."
In the deepest voice possible.
Possible.
Batman.
Oh. Oh, I'm going to kill myself tonight. But, you know, Disney Afternoon, because you had that, you had Bonkers, you had DuckTales.
Okay, that's what I want to hear right now. I want to hear a Christian Bale rendition of Darkwing Duck.
Okay, that's a contest for you. If you send us a rendition of that, we will send you something. We don't know what it is. We'll send you something.
I don't know. I'll send you a DVD from my collection, something. I might even go buy something just because that would be so awesome. But yeah, that would be like, you know, everything nowadays is so dark and gritty. I want to see a dark and gritty Darkwing Duck.
That's the contest. But
yeah,
Duck
the Dark Knight version of Darkwing Duck.
Go out and do it. But it you know, DuckTales, Bonkers, Tailspin, Rescue Rangers. God,
dude, I always wanted one of the things that Kit surfed on in Tailspin.
Oh yeah,
that little
the creation of skyboarding.
Yeah, I know, right? It was like, man, that is awesome. I mean, never mind how dangerous it is. It just jumps out the plane, but you know, whatever. But that was another good bad guy.
Like, yeah,
a French pirate.
Yeah, the French. Oh, what was his name?
Shere Khan? No, not Shere Khan.
Because it was all based off Jungle Book characters.
Yeah. That and King Louie owned a bar.
Because I'm so not on the look of the
Disney.
A Baloo, Kit Cloud Kicker. Rebecca Cunningham, which is like the strangest name for a cartoon character because it sounds normal.
Yeah, it doesn't have any, yeah, no kind of, you know, animal.
Yeah. Don Carnage is who you're thinking of.
Don Carnage?
Yeah.
Yes, he had that little monocle.
Yeah, voiced by Jim Cummings. Jim Cummings did a lot of voices in the 90s.
Yes. Darkwing Duck, for instance.
And can I just say how great it was to hopefully finally see him get some respect with Princess and the Frog? Because he literally almost stole the entire movie as the Cajun Firefly.
I didn't know he was in it. I haven't seen it. I want to see it.
He plays the Cajun Firefly in there.
He needs to, as much work as he's doing. I know he was in Aladdin, and I think he goes back even farther than that. He was in Lion King.
Oh, he goes to, like, the... I think one of his first roles was mid-80s, where he took over the role of Winnie the Pooh.
Wow.
And,
yeah, which actors don't get enough respect anyway. But.
And when Scott McNeil looks up to you as a hero, yeah, you're a good voice actor.
Yeah.
So, And Shere Khan was in there. He would occasionally pop up along with some others. As I said, Bonkers. Disney afternoon really started to die down in, I would say, mid-90s.
Yeah, pretty much with Tailspin, Darkwing Duck, all those kind of ended was with Bonkers. I think Bonkers was kind of the later, one of the later efforts.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of, and I say that more because I know there was other stuff, there was like Recess and some other stuff, but it just wasn't the same as far as I'm concerned.
Recess was crap, man, I'm sorry.
And their version of Doug, which transfers
yeah,
into
Yeah, Disney's Doug, no, I'm sorry, you can't give Doug long sleeves.
Yeah.
Patty Manning the haircut.
Transfers into the other thing that early 90s. Nicktoons.
With Rugrats?
Rugrats, Doug, and Ren and Stimpy.
Dude, Ren and Stimpy is so friggin' weird. Go back and watch it. Man, it freaks me out.
It was made more for adults. There's no doubt about it. It was made for adults. And then
They were like a couple. I mean, so weird.
As far as I'm concerned, when you look at things like SpongeBob SquarePants, Chowder, The Misadventures of Captain What's-His-Name, whatever, you know, all of these are Ren and Stimpy ripoffs.
They're trying to make
kiddie versions of Ren and Stimpy, and it just doesn't work.
Like, do you remember the episode when they went to the to go find the lost left socks?
Yeah.
So weird, man.
Yeah.
Like, what are you thinking?
I just love the log song. It's log.
Oh, it's log. Like, you can roll it. You can.
You can roll it. You
dress it up. Yeah, it's like wow.
I was waiting for them to say you can smoke it.
Yeah. That and because happy, that happy happy joy joy.
Happy happy joy joy. Happy happy joy joy. Happy happy joy joy. As I'm singing this, Jesse is getting a baseball bat and proceeding to drive down to Florida and beat the hell out of me.
You idiot!
Do that, ladies and gentlemen. Just go into a room, start singing Happy Happy Joy Joy. After they get the...
Somebody will beat you up.
Yeah, some... you will get the...
But, the Christian Bale Queen Duck will bust in and beat you up.
Yes, it will. Rugrats. God, I love early Rugrats. My favorite episode, and it's hard to find, is the one where Tommy's grandpa takes him to, that sort of, like, western-themed playground.
I don't remember that one. I remember the most is, you remember Reptar, obviously.
Yeah.
What was the Rodan analog called?
Oh, I have no idea.
Because this one, they took Tommy and Chucky to the Toys R Us, basically. And they chased off of the place looking for the Reptar.
Oh, God, I remember that episode. It was so awesome.
As a kid, I recognized, hey, that's Godzilla.
Yeah. And it was awesome for me because it felt like it was my biography because I was named Tommy and I like Godzilla.
Do you have a best friend named Chucky?
I had a best friend named Wayne.
That's close enough.
But it was like a Western theme where they... Western themed playground, and Tommy had to fight off a bully.
Oh wait, he had the pop gun.
Yeah, the pop gun.
Yeah, yeah, I remember that one.
Oh,
speaking of pop gun, another great 90s. 5-4 Goes West.
Oh,
give him the lazy eye.
I think when we talk about 90s animation, we have to talk about movies too.
Yeah, you can't differentiate. Because as a kid, I didn't differentiate. It was like, they were all lumped together.
But we'll get to that. Let's first finish off. If you have to talk about Doug.
Yeah.
I think I'm one of the few people that like Nickelodeon's Doug.
Dude, how do you not like Doug? He was Quail Man.
Well, I know one internet celebrity that hates him being that his name's Doug. I'm not going to mention that celebrity's name. I'm not going to...
I'll send hate mail to that person.
No, he's a great, great internet celebrity. I love his work. I'll tell you off. He's basically, he was tortured because his name's Doug with this cartoon.
That's understandable, I guess.
But you know,
the only kind of ragging I got was when Free Willy came out.
It was yes.
Like, oh, you gonna Free Willy? Like, oh, that's not even funny, man.
Wait. Did they do it in a Japanese dialect? Free Willy!
I didn't even like Free Willy. It was lame. The movie, that movie with the seal was better.
Oh.
I forget the name of it. It was better.
You can't knock a movie that has a great Michael Jackson song. I'm sorry. But, with Doug, you know, what was your favorite Doug episode?
The one where he was daydreaming that Roger was the Godzilla.
Yes!
Thing, but he still had the jacket on and the hair. So Quail Man had to fight it.
Yeah.
And that just seems like a superhero that a high schooler would think of. He puts a belt on his head and puts his boxers on out inside out.
Yeah. What was the dog's name again?
Oh, crap. No, Skeeter was his best friend. Man, what is...
I love the episode where they're like the dog show and it's winter and the dog gets blamed for something and he ends up saving somebody who slips through the ice. You remember that episode?
I don't remember that one.
It was one of the later Nickelodeon seasons. The Halloween special where him and Patty go into the haunted house.
Oh, yes.
That one was awesome.
That one
But I think one of my favorites was the Beats Parade. Where
Is that the one where they had the bus?
It was the one where they went to his sister's college.
Oh yeah, I do remember that one.
Where all the kids from Doug's high school are going to his sister's college to create their beat float for the Beat Parade, and it's just Doug like constantly getting chased throughout the college, and it's the most surreal stuff going on in the college artistically.
I just like it. It's like, yeah, this is what college is like.
And you got people like,
and like the Beats is so clearly supposed to be Ringo Starr.
Yeah. Oh, dude, the Beats is just awesome. So I need more allowance, you're late. I need more allowance, you're late. I need more allowance, you're late. Why? Because I do. You're not even going to attempt, are you?
No, I'm not.
You're gonna leave me to my devices to die. But
yes.
As you alluded to, when it comes to movie, I think the two movies we sort of had to, well, there's really three. There was I guess Don Bluth also fits sort of into Steven Spielberg, because Steven Spielberg had several movies, because you know you had Cats Don't Dance in the late 90s. I know you haven't seen that.
Yeah, I don't recall that.
But it had music done by Randy Newman, who would go on to work for Pixar and do music for things like Cars.
Yeah, I know that name.
Yeah, you had, you know, Pebble and the Penguin, which is still one of my favorites. Did you ever see Pebble and the Penguin?
No.
I probably
Cats
only...
Don't Dance. I think I might have seen that one. It looks familiar. But, I just Googled those here.
Both you could probably, well, Pebble and the Penguin I know you can catch on Hulu. I know it's on Hulu. You really gotta check that one. It has Martin Short and Jim Belushi.
Yes, I have seen Pebble and the Penguin, yes.
Okay, because those I've are
seen. I don't remember about it, but I've seen it.
It's got great songs. I love the songs. Rock-a-doodle-doo.
Yes, I remember Rock-a-doodle-doo.
Oh god, I have that on tape somewhere.
I
have a lot of good Don Bluth stuff.
Oh, I wanna find that. I wanna either buy that somewhere. I'll download it if I have to.
Is it wrong to say that the little chicken?
No. I already know what you're gonna say, and no.
It's not wrong to say that she's hot.
No, it's not at all.
I mean,
I used to have the little Happy Meal toy from that.
Oh. But of course,
the crow in there.
Yeah. But talking about Don Bluth, you can't not talk. Well, the first 5-0 movie was late 80s, so I guess we'll count it. But both had good music. Both are great movies. Both will make you cry numerous times.
You know, apparently they made like 5 of those.
Yeah. But the first two were the only good ones.
Yeah, those are the only two I saw.
But, that, you know,
and then, what was the movie? It's not All Dogs Go to Heaven, although that one was awesome.
Oliver and Company?
No.
What was in it?
I'm looking it up now. I don't want to give it away.
Just because you want to see the look on my face.
And if you don't recognize it, I'm going to be so upset.
Goldie, that was her name. Thank you.
Yes, I found it.
What is it?
Rover Dangerfield.
I've never heard of it.
Showing Rodney Dangerfield as the dog?
Oh, I remember. You know what? I've never gotten a chance to see it. I've heard of it, but I've never gotten a chance to see it.
Oh, it is awesome. I think he I don't know if he wrote it or something, but obviously, you know, he plays himself. But
yeah. He wrote and co-produced awesome. It.
Yeah, 1991. Yeah.
And now I gotta go find this. Why did they name Hyperion Rover, Pictures? Oh, that's why. I forgot all the classic movies. But you go, you know, Five Goes West, yeah. As you said before, absolutely excellent.
Dude, that man, that cat in there, the bad guy, I forget his name, but man. He was pretty vicious.
Oh, why can't I remember? Dom DeLuise was classic in Five Goes West.
Yes.
But speaking of other I almost said it because, you know, Don Bluth used to work for Disney. And so you basically had the Disney golden age in the 90s. It started in 1989 with Little Mermaid. But again, and this is the point of where, you know, it was a resurgence of animation as a respectable medium. Because not only did you have good stuff on TV, you had great stuff in the theaters. With Little Mermaid.
I believe that is what made it acceptable for anybody to watch a cartoon.
Yeah.
I don't know how many people go see Toy Story 3 when it comes out. Everybody I know is talking about it.
Yeah, I mean, you had Aladdin, Lion King, Mulan, Hunchback of Notre Dame, which not a lot of people respect, but it's a great movie.
Dude, I like that movie, yeah.
Pocahontas, again, another one. I love it. Tarzan.
Mulan with my girlfriend for the first time, not too long ago.
Yeah. But my favorite, and this is actually, I said Who Framed Roger Rabbit is my favorite movie of all times. I'm going to tell you my second favorite, Beauty and the Beast. And I have no issue saying that.
I'm more of an Aladdin man, but yeah, I definitely like Beauty and the Beast.
And if for nothing else, just for the fact that it scared the Oscars about how good an animated film could be, that they created a brand new film category for animated films to be in so they could try to avoid nominating them for best film. That's how good it was.
I think it could have been nominated, no problem. If it would have won, I don't know, but it definitely deserved a nomination.
I can't even remember what else came out in 91-92 that deserved to win. That's the only one I remember.
I feel like Dancing Wolves or something. But, oh. Yeah. I love Aladdin. I just do because of Robin Williams. He's the best genie.
Robin Williams gets no respect.
And of course, Jafar. Was that Jim Cummings also? Jafar?
No. That was, John Goodman. It's another Goodman. I think that has the name John
but, yeah.
Goodman.
Oh, and Iago, of course.
Yeah, Gilbert. I can't take it anymore! If this happens to me, I'll be molting!
Polly, what a cracker. I'll give you a cracker.
All us Jews can go to that angry phase. We can reach that.
Do you all have, like, the built-in?
Yeah. No, my favorite scene from Aladdin with Iago was definitely the door closing.
No, my favorite was when he was masquerading as a flamingo. On stilts, and the other flamingo sort of hitting on him. Like, ah,
you got a problem with this? Pokey!
It's like, who would believe that's a flamingo? It's a parrot in stilts.
It's kind of obvious. It's like a bull in a china shop.
I think the biggest one, especially the biggest movie in the 90s, the Disney movie, was Lion King.
Oh, yeah. Matthew Broderick, before he screwed us over in Godzilla.
Yeah.
Yeah, Matthew Broderick. Yeah, Jonathan Taylor Thomas. You had Earl Jones as Mufasa. James Earl Jones.
Jeremy Irons as Scar.
And one of the greatest villain songs of all time, Be Prepared. Whoopi Goldberg, yep.
And I believe Jim Cummings played Ed.
Yeah, he played Ed, Whoopi Goldberg, and Cheech Marin. Cheech Marin. God!
Cheech Marin? What?
I was thinking the other one. Cheech Marin, thank you.
Fans, I forgive Thomas for his lack of respect for Cheech. You never saw Polly?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I did. Let's not talk about that.
That had the best Elton John song ever in that. Elton John, as sung by Nathan Lane.
But I think the last other sort of company that started releasing movies, they did it late in the 90s, was Fox itself. And, you know, The King and I, which I've never gotten to see yet, but actually I think I've seen it once and I liked it. And you also had Titan AA, which is, I actually got to see it recently. I enjoyed it.
Really? I saw it in theaters.
Did you not like it?
Yeah, I saw that. I saw it in theaters. What? Who's going to hate?
And I liked it. I didn't say I hated it. I liked it. But,
It's forgettable, because I obviously haven't seen it in like 10 years, but, I mean, not only the effects were really good, I mean, to be traditional animation mixed with CG. It was better than Disney's. I want to say Disney's last movie that kind of killed their animation, which was Treasure Planet.
Oh. No, it was Home on the Range that destroyed their 2D aspirations. Trust me on this. That was a bad movie. That? No, I didn't. I just saw the trailer and I knew it was a bad movie. Even the trailer left a bad taste in my mouth. But, like I said, it was Fox, but the one that, you know, I'm not gonna say here and compare it to Beauty and the Beast, but definitely was my favorite from Fox, was Anastasia.
You know, I always thought that was a Disney movie.
No, that was, Fox.
Wow. Yeah, that.
And it was done by Don Bluth.
Huh. Well, there you go. I thought it was Disney quality, so that says something good about it.
Yeah. I forgot one more Don Bluth movie, Thumbelina.
Oh, I forgot all about Thumbelina.
That had Ariel as Thumbelina.
Yeah.
Did you not know that?
No.
The same woman who plays Ariel in Little Mermaid plays Thumbelina.
Huh.
I'd have to look up her name. Okay, but yeah, and one of the reasons is I love the songs in Anastasia. Once Upon a December, Journey to the Past, which got a more professional version done by Alea. It was one of her last songs before her unfortunate accident. That's one singer that was taken from us too soon.
Yeah. Really was.
I love Journey to the Past. But my favorite, Richard Marx and Donna Lewis, Back to the Beginning. One of my favorites. Da 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 da. You're just staying quiet, aren't you?
I'm just leaving you to that one.
What, you didn't like it?
No, I liked it. I just don't remember any of the songs from it. I haven't seen it in friggin' 10 years at least.
Unfortunately, unlike you, I don't have a job, so I have nothing to do with my life.
This is what Thomas does. He sits at home and watches Anastasia. And sings to himself, "Ha, you poor, poor boy."
In Japanese. Because that's my mother.
Yeah, yes.
But, we'll move on. We're getting to the last kind of things that, sort of represent.
Well, real quick, one movie I can't believe I admitted, Land Before Time.
Oh. You know what?
I know they have, like, 13 of them now, but that first one, I watched recently.
The first one's good.
It's awesome.
That's another
Even, the second and third one are pretty good, but the first one is just awesome. Even though I thought Littlefoot was a girl. Whatever. Still.
Another Don Bluth film. God, I love Don Bluth. You know
and
what?
That, That sharp tooth was scary, man. I'm sorry. It was.
You know, I'm just going to say, even though it was 80s, I'm going to say it, Secret of Nim.
Yeah, I'll give you that one, yeah.
In the late 90s, there was a station that started to premiere. Well, it premiered earlier than that, but it started to develop its own cartoons called Cartoon Network. And when you look at the original Cartoon Network cartoons, you have Dexter, Johnny Bravo, and you have Cow and Chicken.
I forgot all about Cow and Chicken. What about, what was it called?
That was the best. Cow and Chicken.
Or not Eat the Cat. Courage the Cowardly Dog.
That came really later. That came after Powerpuff Girls and, I think Ed and Eddie. It premiered with Ed and Eddie. But Powerpuff
Girls. I know Powerpuff Girls was pretty close with Dexter's Lab, wasn't it?
Oh, by the same creator. The same creator that did Dexter's Lab and Powerpuff Girls, who also did Samurai Jack.
Yes.
God. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Jack.
Dexter's Lab started in... It ran from 96 to
2001. I'm going to sit here and say, my absolute favorite, it should come no shock. It's the two-parter Japan episode, where the Godzilla...
I think I remember it, but... It's the one... What was his name? The bad guy? Or the other genius that he hated him?
Mandark?
Yes.
No, he was in it, but it was the one where the Godzilla clone, it's where Dexter is in a student exchange program in Japan, and so he gets to school and he tries to fit in, so he tries to show off his robot, but then the other kids who look like jocks just show off their robots, they're like way cooler and better, and then they accidentally wake up a Godzilla clone, and so the entire episode, you know, it's just like, you know, all the superheroes like Captain Glory and Van Halen and Bulk try to start and they fail and even Monkey fails and so
Dexter, that's right. I loved Monkey. Dial M for Monkey.
So Dexter has to call upon his family to help him. So he reveals his secret about the his lab and asks for the help. And it's like the Voltron ripoff.
Yeah.
Dexter Family Go. It was so. Cool. That, bar none, is my favorite episode.
And I forget all about that. Now, wasn't Monkey and Van Halen, weren't they, like, spinoffs of Dexter, or weren't they on the same show?
They were on the same show.
Yeah, it was like a little, like, sideshow or whatever.
Like, little snippets during Dexter's Lab.
That's it, yeah.
But it,
had the best Hulk ripoff ever, Krunk.
Krunk. Are the two puppets? What
were their names?
Something Bonk and Bonk, I think, or something like that. Hey, Donk, Bonk, what do you call a horse in the stable? I don't know. A bonk on the head. It makes no sense. But it's funny. Oh, Rat Man.
Wow.
Oh, Rat Man. He's living in the Glory Friend's house.
That's it, the Glory Friends. I forget all about it.
And they finally made a deal to him to where they would call him whenever they need something fixed. And every time he thinks, he's like, oh man, I'm really gonna get to do something. I'm like, why are you calling me? I hate King Golfer TV. Yeah. But I'll say this. The last thing, my favorite for Dexter's Lab was definitely, sort of the rap album that came out. Do you remember that? Oh, yeah. The main song was done by Will.i.am.
Wow.
They later go on to create the Black Eyed Peas. The song is called A Secret. Secret's called I Got a Secret. You can find it on YouTube. I actually have it in my favorites from YouTube. I'll send it to you.
Oh, yeah, I want to hear that. That sounds fun.
But you also had Johnny Bravo. Which is funny.
I love the Johnny Bravo Scooby-Doo episode.
Oh, that was funny.
Classic.
That is classic.
Well, he did nothing but try to hook up with Daphne the entire episode. And he just thinks Fred's a moron.
Yeah.
Awesome. My favorite Dexter episode is Mother Combat.
When he
creates the robot of his mom.
Yes. And we've gone back to Dexter's Laboratory.
Yeah, I just took a step backwards. Oh, speaking of that, did you ever watch the Mortal Kombat animated show?
No, I didn't.
Okay, for once, I actually have something to talk about that you don't. That's amazing. But yeah, this show only ran for like 13 episodes, and I think it's pretty much hated, but I enjoyed it. I mean, it's based on Mortal Kombat 3, and it's, I don't know how they managed to get a, like a PG cartoon based on a, like, M-rated game, or like, why they'd even want to do that, you know? You're getting kids into the cartoon, and then they're going to be able to turn around and not play the video game, but it was freaking awesome. It had, like, basically the good guy versus the bad guys, and it would have all the characters pop in for, like, one episode, like, ha, Scorpion's taking over, you know, Japan, we have to go stop him. And they had, like, these jets. They're pretty much like the Avengers. They had their Mortal Kombat jets. They jump in. And anyway, Mortal Kombat Defenders of the Realm. I liked it.
But, but Johnny Bravo, and of course you had Cow and Chicken, the best of the Ren and Stimpy ripoffs.
Yes, yeah.
Because that's what it was.
I liked Cat Dog.
Yeah, Cat Dog. That was Nickelodeon, though. And that was part of that whole slew of second generation of that, Rocko's Modern Life. Kind of funny.
Rocko's Modern Life came before that, right?
Yeah, but Hey Arnold was definitely my favorite of the second generation.
See, I didn't like Hey Arnold.
And just to finish off with Cartoon Network, the anime that Cartoon Network would show: Sailor Moon, Dragon Ball Z, The Ronin Warriors, Gundam Wing, and Outlaw Star. Intensely, but I won't. But those are really the five I'll sit here and count. That Robotech. That's where I first saw Robotech.
I remember that.
And of course, the show I'm talking about is Toonami, the greatest show ever. And everybody thinks
I enjoyed Toonami. I didn't even want like anime.
I mean, everybody says, "Oh, it was an anime block." No, it was an action block. Everybody confuses that. It was an action.
Yeah, because it had non-anime on there also, right?
Yeah, it had. You know, I mean, it started out with Thundercats, Voltron, and Real Adventures of Johnny Quest.
Yes.
And then you can't
beat that.
And then you had shows like Beast Wars, Transformers.
Beast Wars was one of the best shows of the 90s.
Oh, yes, it was. Okay, we're just going to go over shows that were on Toonami. But, yeah, definitely, you know, Beast Wars. Oh, God, I love. First time I ever got to hear Scott McNeil. And I became a Scott McNeil fan from that day.
Who was Scott McNeil?
He was Dinobot, Rat Trap, Waspinator, and Thunderbolt.
Okay, so all the good characters. I loved Rat Trap. You know what? If they canceled Transformers 3, the movie right now, to make a Beast Wars movie, I would not complain at all. They wouldn't at all. But.
Insolent. Perhaps I should take you out the old-fashioned way. Brutally!
I'm sorry, the best character there was Waspinator.
Also played by Scott McNeil.
Really?
Yeah, Scott McNeil. He played all four of those characters.
Holy man. So he basically was talking to himself for most of the show.
Yeah. Because, that show, same dub company that did Gundam Wing and a lot of Bandai stuff, the one in Vancouver, did it. Also did some of the Dragon Ball. He was also Piccolo and Vegeta for a little bit.
Okay, I could hear.
Scott McNeil was Piccolo, he's Vegeta, he was... He was Cobra Commander in the 90s G.I. Joe show.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, when we talk about Toonami, we can't not talk about Reboot.
Reboot. I forgot all... Man. Only real episode I remember of Reboot is the one that had Ash from The Evil Dead.
Oh, God, I remember that. As my microphone gets
so
tangled
so
up.
Weird. Because I never watched the show. One friend's like, hey, that guy you liked from that movie was on it. It's like, well, this is so odd.
Yeah. Definitely. And then they tried out, I mean, they had Voltron, but they tried out another anime in Robotech when they first started doing Saturday Nights.
And, they did do Saturday Nights. I forgot all about that.
Yeah. I mean, before they moved to Saturday Nights, they started a little bit on Saturday, like, I'd say 97, 98, and they showed Robotech. And, God, I watched that show religiously. I'm probably the only person that feels bad for Min-Min.
Who's Min-May?
Did you ever watch Robotech?
No. I've seen it before, but I don't remember
it. You don't remember it. That'll be pointless to talk. I mean, it's too long of an explanation. But
it's anime. That's all you have to
do. Well, speaking of anime, I'll talk about the anime that really made really started me down becoming an animation fan was BioBooster Armor Guyver. And I know you've seen that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you just seen the movies?
Yes.
Oh, okay. That's okay, it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're cut. You're just saying, mm-hmm, so we can stop now.
But Thomas is talking about anime, so I'm just, you gotta let him go.
There's one show I know you watched. Being a teenager, Sailor Moon.
I'll admit to it.
I mean, because I mean, not that we were watching it for any perverted reasons. A bunch of 13-year-olds were watching a bunch of teenage girls in very, very short skirts. No, there was nothing perverted about our thinking at all.
No, with the typical male fantasy of each type of woman present. No,
let's see, Pluto's the MILF. For the three perverts in the back, you got Mini Moon. You got the bisexual in Neptune. You got the butch lesbian in Uranus. You got the busty Latino in Sailor Moon and Jupiter. You got the jailbait in Saturn. The sexy redhead in Mars. The closet nympho in Mercury, and the two hot dumb blondes in Moon and Venus.
Which, why do they call her Moon and not Earth? That makes no sense.
I have no idea.
It's like, Moon's not even a planet. You can do planets and one Moon? Why don't you do, like, Ganymede and Europa? Come on.
Well, they tried that, but it didn't fly. The thing that was most... When I first found out that it was a two-person job on this, that it was written by a woman, but the character designs and the art was done by her husband... Everything started making sense. Because I just have this vision of... Because she's been one of the few people that have come out talking about how she's not like a lot of the sexiness that's been in fan art and stuff. And I have this vision of her husband standing behind her just nodding on...
Yeah.
Sure, honey. Mm-hmm.
I can just see her writing up the script. Okay, we're going to have this scene. He's like, okay. And it's still like thought bubbles. And his vision is like completely different than hers.
Yeah. But, you know, Sailor Moon, and that also, that and Dragon Ball Z actually premiered earlier on other networks, but it really took off when it came on Cartoon Network.
Yeah.
Again, Dragon Ball Z, which became a phenomenon, probably only matched by, Pokemon at that time.
And I checked earlier, Pokemon premiered in 97, so it counts as 90s.
Yeah, it counts as 90s.
Dude, of course, you know I'm playing Pokemon right now.
Yeah,
I got Pokemon bug so bad, and because I was when the game first came out, I was in 7th grade, and I was subscribed to Nintendo Power, the magazine.
Yeah,
and they had like a little section about it before it came out about this Japanese game called Pocket Monsters.
Well, you know,
and
the game
I ate up everything about it.
The game is so much fun because you know it's a collecting RPG, and it's just fun to try to collect all the monsters and.
Yeah, because I'm for that, but like when the when the friggin' show premiered, I was like, oh, they have a show about it.
Though you would think by season 19 they would figure out, you know what? That's Team Rocket in disguise. You would think by now that it's why I call Pokemon a cartoon and not an anime. Because that's what it is. They never learn.
And it's still on, I believe.
Oh yeah, there's still news.
I know we still have DVDs coming out at work. I'm like, Pokemon, oh, yeah. What? This is awesome. Yeah. Like, you figure Ash's Pikachu's gotta be like level 100 now. Just completely BA.
I thought it was Bull in like the 10th season when he came over to, after he defeated Johto and he went to, I can't remember the name of the land, but he said, I'm just gonna leave all my Pokemon except for Pikachu back home and just catch all new Pokemon.
Yeah, doesn't that kind of defeat the purpose of catch them all?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess he didn't get rid of them, but.
He didn't get rid of them, but you know, I want to see Charizard! I like Charizard and Squirtle.
Well, yeah.
And
Charizard was like just the biggest like jerk.
Badass.
He would just like throw him out and do anything.
But and he had a character change.
Like Misty's Psyduck.
Yeah. But he,
sorry.
But you know, it was the thing like he was a jerk until like the Orange Islands in third season, where Ash finally was able to get his trust and control him. Then he just became a complete badass.
I remember I went to go see that movie in theaters, the very first one.
I will just always remember the joke. It must be Viking. Oh, I didn't know Vikings still exist. It must be from Minnesota. So stupid.
That's probably the biggest anime I was a fan of. Or I guess, you know, you're not going to call it anime, but Japanese show I was a fan of.
But I guess it's classified as, I think it has a lot more cartoon product in it. But you know,
I think it's more Americanized than some other anime.
Yeah, it's definitely.
You can kind of tell the setup with Team Rocket. You know, they're bad guys, but they're not really confident bad guys.
Yeah.
They even have the cat that talks.
Yeah,
I love me.
But Dragon Ball Z again, like we said, took off.
I thought you were about to say it took forever. I was like, yes, I agree with you.
It took forever, but it took off too.
Slowest burning show ever. Brian Michael Bendis should have wrote that show.
I think he did.
It's like, and this episode, Goku will stand. And that's it.
And next episode, he powers up.
Yeah.
And next episode, he screamed. Next episode, he finally releases his Kamehameha wave. Next episode, it finally reaches its enemy.
Season, it's like, yeah, what happened? So Goku had a fight scene. Really? One fight scene.
Yeah. But no, my favorite season was definitely the Cell Saga, where Gohan.
I do remember that is when the show started like picking up and actually, you know, getting good.
I really like that Gohan surpassed his father. Then they completely screwed his character over, but I'm not gonna get into that. But then you had Ronin Warriors.
Yeah, I remember Ronin Warriors.
Oh god! But just because we really want to end this quickly, Gundam Wing. I mean, even though it premiered in 2000, it was made in 90s. And I tell a lot of people this. This is what made me an anime fan. That is one of the greatest animation series of all time, as far as I'm concerned. The story is wonderful. The characters are incredible. The music is just so catchy. Did you ever... I know you saw Gundam.
I've seen it. I don't remember a whole lot of it. But it is one of those... It was a lot of the shows that I grew up watching, but I don't have a good recollection of.
Unfortunately, Gundam Wing also has the unfortunate deal of being one of the first shows that had the, what I call the fangirl effect behind it.
Oh.
And what I mean by that is that fangirls would see the show as only one way. And so it became known that that's how the show went. Even though there was no real reasoning behind it. And in this case, the idea was that all the Gundam Wing characters are gay. Trust me, I've watched the show millions of times. I have the show on DVD. They're not gay. They're not even close to being gay. It frustrates me so much. And Jesse's just slowly backing away.
No, I think that happens in a lot of media. Especially, I think that is the beginning of it when you kind of had it kind of tarnishes the image of the show. You know, you look back at it now, and that's kind of what you think of, as opposed to, you know, what it is. And I luckily, I didn't have too much of that when watching it. I wasn't really involved in the fandom of it.
Yeah.
But, it does. Well, the main one I remember is Did you ever play Mortal Kombat 3?
No. Actually, yeah, I did.
You remember the cop they had on there?
Kind of, yeah.
His name was Stryker.
Yeah.
And among fans of that game, he's just, him and Nightwolf are thought of as the village people. Because one's a cop, and one's an Indian. And
Y-M-C-A.
No one played with
them.
Designed, kept, exactly.
Y-M-C-A.
Okay, I won't sing, you know, songs from animation, but I'll bust out into YMCA. What's to say about
hey,
me?
Hey, man.
I don't know the words of the song.
But
I need a more mustache now.
I think we've sort of driven this dead horse of an April Fool's joke into the ground. We didn't just beat it into the ground. We took, Jess took a jackhammer. No, wait a minute. Jess took a sledgehammer. I took a jackhammer to the horse.
Yes.
There's nothing left of this April Fool's joke. We hope you enjoyed it. But we'll leave you with the one last thing. And we were thinking, how disturbing can we be? Why don't we say our hottest, 90s animation chicks?
Just to leave you on a good note.
Yeah.
Alright, Tom,
again,
you go first. You've got the better list.
No, you're gonna go first, but I just wanted to tell them that it's, you know, again, we're considering like 87 to 2000, the 90s.
Yes, yeah.
So, you go first.
Okay, at number 9, Black Cat, the Spider-Man animated series. Not Felicia Hardy, just Black Cat. She had the white transformation hair going on. So rocking. Okay. Number 9.
I enjoy so much.
Damona from Gargoyles. So awesome. She had like the ripped shirt thing going, and the red hair, and like she was evil and hardcore. She's like Xena, but Gargoyle.
You still couldn't think of 10?
No. I got 6. Okay. Alright, number 8 is Black Arachnia from Beast Wars. I know that's doubly weird because she's a robot and an animal, but man, was she hot. She had like 8 legs. Yeah.
Okay. I'm slowly backing away now.
Okay, this is probably the weirdest one. Nala from Lion King.
What is wrong with you?
What? Nala was cool, man.
I'm just going to back away now.
Pinja again. I mean...
I have to take a shower now. I'm really disturbed.
Anyway, I'm continuing on with my list. I know I've got some listeners out there who are feeling Nala. Anyway, She-Hulk from the 90s Hulk show. As cliche as she was, she was pretty awesome. With her, like, workout outfit, but whatever.
I forgot about She-Hulk.
Number 5 is Rogue from the X-Men. Awesome southern accent and leather jacket. With poofy 80s hair, but whatever. And my absolute favorite, April from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Wait a minute, you went to 5 to number 1?
Well, I went from 5 to 6, but that's all I had. So.
I will start off, number 10, and this is purely just on her, intelligence. Jessie from The Real Adventures of Johnny Quest.
And she's a redhead. She can't.
Yeah. I mean, and again, you gotta put this in the context of, I saw this in 96, I was about 11, so...
So she was an older woman for you, man.
Yeah, she was an older woman.
Never mind the fact she's like a 17-year-old character, but...
Yeah.
Still.
Rogue and Jean Grey from X-Men.
Yes.
Both were hot in my mind. I too have Black Cat from the Spider-Man series, and I'll say both personas. The Felicia part in the beginning, but when she became Black Cat, that's where I first gained my love for that character. And a lot of people know, it's my third favorite character.
And that's a really good example of her being, you know, sexy, but not being overly.
Yeah.
She's not wanting to, you know, knock the boots with the mask on. And I'm sorry, Mary Jane from that show, she was cool, but
I feel like the
ascot and the sweater was like...
It was terrible.
What? Like, you're on your honeymoon on a boat and you're wearing an ascot and sweater and cowboy boots? Come on, Mary Jane, you're a fashion model, not whatever that was.
Number 7, the Stellar Scouts, minus Mini Moon and Saturn.
I like you just listed all of them.
Because they are. Again, it was what? It was 90, it was 96, though. It was like 97, 98. I was 13 at the time. Still, they were older women.
Only about like 2 or 3 years, but still, it counts.
Yeah. Number 6, the girls from Batman the Animated Series. In this case, Catwoman, Batgirl, Poison Ivy, and Harley Quinn. All are hot.
Yes. I concur. Yeah.
Damona from Gargoyles is number 5.
And even Lisa, the cop from the show.
Yeah, Lisa also was hot. I couldn't think of her name, but both of them.
Lisa, I keep wanting to say Montoya, but I know that's not right.
Yeah. Greg Wiseman is a animation genius. Because, you know, he did that. He did Spectacular Spider-Man. He also did Witch, which is a show that was on that premiered on ABC Family a couple years ago.
I think I remember that.
There's like 5 girls and they would go to another world. Had sort of that magical girl type of element to it. You know, all had different elements.
Yeah, Greg Wiseman is the man. He has a very good contribution.
He is the Bruce Timm of the 2000s, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, Gargoyles was very much ahead of its time.
Yeah.
And he's a pretty good writer of Spider-Man also.
Yeah. At number 4, Hollywood from Cool World. Not many people remember this movie.
I know this movie. It had Brad Pitt in it.
It had Brad Pitt, yeah.
Before he was Brad Pitt. Brad Pitt, I think Gabriel Byrne was in it.
But voiced by Kim Basinger, just sexy as hell. This was one of these movies that was done in sort of that Who Framed Roger Rabbit style, had real actors in an animated world. And just Hollywood was just so hot. And speaking of so hot, Hello Nurse from the Animaniacs.
Yes.
I'll tell you this, if the nurses at the hospital were like that, I would be getting sick every day.
Oh, I'd be like with a broke back, like, you know. Speaking of nurses, Nurse Joy from Pokemon?
No. I'm backing away from that.
I'm hating on my list, man.
That's number 7?
Yes.
You sure you don't want to throw Officer Jenny in there either?
Nah, just Nurse Joy.
Number two for me. Belle, Ariel, and Jasmine from the Disney films.
You keep doing these throwaways, man. Those don't count. You gotta pick. I'd go with Belle.
But that's what I would go with, too, Belle. She was... even though it was hidden, you knew she was hot, especially once you saw her in the gold dress.
She had that one piece of hair thing that fell down?
Yeah. But, you know, the reason...
I was beast. I would have, danced.
But the reason, you know, she was my favorite for Disney princess of all time was because she was smart and intelligent. And that always drew me to her.
True. I can dig it.
I mean, again, like we said before, with a lot of these female characters, it was more than just being, you know, hot. They were smart, too. There was actually something to their characters other than being attractive. But as with our next and my number 1 character, there's only one. Jessica Rabbit.
That's me clapping.
But yeah, Jessica Rabbit. Oh,
yeah, Jessica Rabbit. You can't go wrong with that.
I mean, the prototype of any realistic female character that's been made since has been Jessica Rabbit. I mean, she's the most gorgeous woman ever animated. And more importantly, she's smart. She's brilliant. And let me put it this way, when the animators want to see her naked, because there's an infamous part of the film where they didn't really do her naked, but like when the car crashes and she goes flying out, and the original cut, there, if you slow it down frame by frame, there's like this peach color between her legs with like a little black line. I kid you not.
Really?
Everybody thought, oh, they drew her naked, and really, if you really look at it, it's nothing, it's just an area they didn't color, But they caused so much controversy that they went back and redid it.
Wow.
And not only did she do it once in that scene, she did it twice. So when the end, so to quote the same internet celebrity I was talking about before, when the animators want to see them naked, you know she has to be number one.
Yeah.
So you know what? We're gonna break the point. That was our April Fool's joke. We hope you guys enjoy it.
If anybody actually listens to all, what are we at now?
Hour 32
minutes.
Yeah. We will send you a prize.
And I just want to hear somebody like, oh crap, that was April Fool's. Like, come on, really?
I think it was obvious from the theme song. But no, hopefully you guys enjoy. Hopefully you guys enjoy our April Fool's joke. You know, we really, honestly, we thought this up like 2 hours ago.
Yeah, it was very spur of the moment.
We were talking about a comment on the fan page, and we just it led to this. I mean, that's.
Yep. Are we gonna try to have it up by tomorrow?
We're gonna try to have it up by tomorrow.
Okay, by tomorrow night. On top of that, if you don't realize it by then.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, a podcast on April 1st. Wait a minute.
But I think that's it for tonight, guys. We hope you enjoyed this. So until next time,
run! Eat Godzilla!
This is the second most painful moment of my life.
It's time for Animaniacs. And we're saying it to the max. So just sit back and relax. You'll laugh till you can laugh with Animaniacs. Come join the Warner Brothers
and the Warner Sisters on.
Just for fun, we run around the Warner movie lot. They lock us in the tower whenever we get caught. A team break loose and then the moose, and now you know the plot. We're Animaniacs. Dog is cute and yak go yaks. Wacko bats with a snatch while the princess plays the sax. We're Animaniacs. Titi and the Brain who want to rule the universe. With feathers flock together, Snappy whacks them with her purse. Barton saves his Mindy while we act in converse. The writer's script we have, no script we're bothered to rehearse. We're Animaniacs. We have pay for play contracts. We're singing to the max, they're baloney in our slacks. We're Animaniacs, totally insane-y, Pinky and the Brainy.